Welcome to another episode of The Doghouse on ntnradio.com.
.com.
Hello, everybody.
Not .net. .com.
.com.
There you go.
We should change it to .woof.
I don't know. I like .us. America!
America and no one else. God bless America and no one else.
That's right. There you go. .uck either.
I kind of like that guy in that movie. God bless him. He played Raylan Givens' police chief.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's
a great actor.
Yeah.
God bless America. No, I kept waiting for him to say that in that show.
Yeah, he never did.
Never did.
It had years to do it.
Boyd Crowder, and also, I can't think of his Sons of Anarchy name.
Venus.
Nice boobs.
Venus. Yeah.
Is in the new Quentin Tarantino movie.
I did see that.
I'm going to go see that this weekend.
I did see that. That would probably...
That's going to make... This is a record. I'm going to see two movies within a month in a movie theater. That's the first time probably since I was 20 years old.
What was the first one?
I can't.
I saw the new Star Wars.
I have yet to see it. Timing's not working.
I went and saw it in a movie theater too, the new Star Wars movie.
And
the thing about it is that I haven't been in a movie theater before Star Wars in years. Yeah, you either, huh?
No.
No, we went last spring.
That wasn't a movie theater.
Yeah, it was
Sterling, Virginia.
Oh, all right. Well, I was getting ready to say...
Just because you project something on the side of a mountain doesn't make it a movie theater.
Before that, I was almost going to say before that, the last movie I'd seen in a movie theater was Old School back in like 2000, but then I forgot I saw Rush, the movie about...
Senna, right?
Not Senna.
What's his name?
The Playboy
Hunt.
Guy. Hunt and Lauder, Nicky Lauder.
Right.
And then we saw Any Given Sunday, The Next Chapter.
Yeah, but it was in Sterling.
And we were the
people
only
don't
people
really
there.
Know Sterling, Virginia.
Yeah, a VIP owned screening. Theater.
We had a VIP screening.
Does that count?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We're going to claim it.
Yeah. We'll own that.
Right. Did we pay to watch that movie?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. We paid.
We got the seats of our choice, though.
And we did get uninterrupted viewing of the movie. We didn't allow anybody else. We bought the whole theater out.
That is true. So anyway, it's kind of weird because we, Phil and me are doing another show that if you want to check it out, it will soon be available on ntnradio.com, called You Heard It Here. And it should be showing up and you're at your local NTN outlet, within, probably this next week.
Where did we hear it?
So you heard it here.
You know, I was thinking we should spell here.
Very different kind of show.
Different kind of show. Mm-hmm. And that kind of ruined it because we did talk about what we did over the holiday weekend. But we didn't get to ask Warren, and we took a break. That was my fault.
Different show, different audience.
That's what made me think about it, is because we did talk about what we did over the holiday weekend, but we didn't ask Warren what he did over the holiday weekend. I don't know. Warren, what do people from West Virginia do over a holiday weekend?
Went to ride a motorcycle.
Family members?
Did you drive your truck today?
You did the icy testicles ride, right?
Yeah, I did the frosty balls ride this past the 1st of January.
Yes.
Harley Christmas. I got a bunch of Harley parts for Christmas.
Yeah, I did the underwear ride a few years ago, and I'm still cold from that. I haven't warmed up yet.
You know,
it is quite cool.
Yeah.
The first year I was down here, a lot of the people that do the Some Gave All ride did a New Year's Day, I don't remember, Cold Fingers ride or something like that. And I didn't have my bike down, so I just went down in my truck, figured I'd follow the ride, you know, or whatever, at least go down and say hi. And it was so cold that we actually loaded one lady's bike up on the back of my pickup truck to bring her back because she didn't have gloves. And her hands were turning like
I can't
blue.
Imagine. I had
it was cold. Just, and it was cold and windy. Oh my God! It was miserable.
I would realize that like 3 seconds into the ride that I didn't have gloves on.
Yeah, I didn't know how she made it from
even,
her house.
Not even that. I would have known that before we even started by just having my hands exposed.
I knew that if it wasn't for the heated seats and the windows on my truck, I wouldn't have been there.
The day I did the underwear ride as we were forming up, it was 4 degrees out.
Well, it wasn't that bad this year.
Yeah,
it was no, when we rolled out of the driveway. It was 38 degrees.
That's not bad.
According to my bike,
that's warm.
We rode up to the link up point, which was at the dealership, and because it was a hog ride,
right?
And so after about 20 minutes there, everybody talking to each other, it was time to go kickstands up, and it was about an 80-mile round trip ride into Herndon, Virginia. It was a kind of a weird place to go.
That is sort of a weird place to go.
Yeah,
but
we
went to Herndon, Virginia, and there was a lot more bikes than I expected. It was probably about 45 bikes in the ride.
Not a bad turnout.
No, not for a 1st of July or 1st of January ride. And when we got back into the driveway, I checked the temperature again. It was 48. So we got, it wasn't
that bad.
That's
not bad.
It's nice weather.
No.
That is not
when
bad.
We went, I guess I said it was
but
four,
with windshield
four degrees.
Factors, it's quite cool.
Yeah, no, with the windshield definitely makes it much worse. It was 4 degrees, like I said, when I left, but it was, I think, 11 degrees when I got back. But I will tell you that I had no feeling in my hands on the ride back, and it was scary.
Now, you got to remember, and when they say underwear ride, they probably meant just make sure you have some on somewhere.
Yeah, it was called the underwear ride.
You probably
because
rode it only
reason,
your underwear.
The reason it was called the underwear ride because it was to donate undergarments for homeless people, because that's the one thing people don't ever give.
Yeah, but you probably rode in your underwear.
I had layers on. So, but I will say that I came back with my hands numb and my rear brake locked up on the way back.
And nothing's Ow. Worse than your hands being. I told all my friends I didn't give a damn how cold it was. I was going to ride to the Javits Center for the bike show that I had a booth there, and it was like -4 when I left my house. I should have never rode.
Oh, no, it's
by
ridiculous.
The time I got there, I couldn't feel to control.
There was actually every time we got to a stoplight, I put my hands down on the cylinders.
No, oh, I've done just to more than a few times.
Yeah, just to get the feeling back in my fingers.
Yeah, tuck them underneath the gas tank.
Yeah, just to get the feeling back in my fingers. So,
but this is the second bike I've had with heated grips. The first, Ultra Classic had heated grips, and this one did as well.
That's nice.
And so, not so bad this trip, but one of the other cold trips I went on, it does a real good job of warming your palms and the inside of your fingers.
Yeah.
It still doesn't do too much about the top of your hands and the top of your fingers.
Well, like your fingertips? Because that was the worst part.
Yeah,
your
fingertips still get cool.
Yeah. Well, cool's okay. Non-existent.
Well,
I'm
exaggerating.
Feel
when
them.
They get cold, they still get cold.
When you get to the point where you can't squeeze the levers, that's where I got to the point. Yeah, I couldn't squeeze the levers. So.
That's not a fun feeling.
Yeah. No, it's not. When you've got a brake with the rear brake only, it's not good. So anyway, we're headed off to break. And
frosty balls.
And when we come back,
little
frosty
early.
Balls.
I'm punching us out a little early. We were struggling.
We were struggling?
We were struggling.
We were talking about freezing testicles. I always think that's something you can talk about
That is struggling.
Especially when it's cold. All right. When we come back, Warren's going to kick us off with some news, and we're going to have some racing to talk about. I'll give a little teaser on that. We're talking about Casey Stoner
because
and his
that's
opinion.
Ken's favorite racer.
That is my favorite racer. We'll be back on the other side.
Folks, welcome back to the Doghouse on NTN.com.
NTNRadio.com.
Okay, NTNRadio.com. Yes, right.
How long have you been on this show?
Long enough to know better.
Hey, Warren, I would like to thank you for putting us all on a terrorist watch list.
Oh, how'd we do that?
I don't know, but whoever you're getting to follow us on Facebook with all the spamming stuff that you're putting up there is like Khalid Abdul-Jabbar and Karam Radugabi.
Most of them
and
are
most
like
of
that.
Them don't even put up their... It just has like... Arabic symbols for names.
Yep.
Thank you, Warren.
Yep.
Well, before we were so rudely interrupted in the last in the opening episode, we were going to talk about something else.
Mm-hmm.
That was the new Evel Knievel movie that finally came to the TV screen, the big screen to the small screen.
Did it ever go to the big screen?
Yes, it did. It had a bunch of screenings all over the country. It just never came to this area.
Okay.
Oh, so it's like hitting the apex.
Yeah, right.
pretty much.
Did that get real there?
Yeah,
sorry.
Pretty much.
Yeah, And I will say, it must have been very, very short stint in the movie theaters then, because we were just talking about it a few months back.
Right.
And I will say something. Let me say something real quick in here. I'm going to admit that I was totally wrong. Because I figured anything with Johnny Knoxville's name associated with it was going to be stupid.
A Jackass type movie.
Yeah, a Jackass type
movie. That's the only reason I didn't watch.
And I will have to say something. He did not act like that at all in the movie. No,
I didn't think he could go without
doing that. There was one scene towards the end when they were talking about stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they showed a couple
clips from the Jackass series.
Yeah, they showed a couple clips in the Jackass series and everything, but
But it was in context.
It was in context, and I thought that... his association with it would make it completely wasted. But I actually learned some things watching that. And I have to say, I kind of grew up through the Evel Knievel days and thought I knew everything about Evel Knievel and learned some things from that movie.
I have to agree. I enjoyed it. Two, it was better than I expected. And three, I learned stuff as well.
Yeah. Did they have Evel Knievel in West Virginia?
Yes, I actually went.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't jump in West Virginia, but he made the Wild World Sports, and we got that.
Okay, you did get the Wild World Sports.
Yeah, but where I grew up, we got Saturday Night Live, but we had to wait till Monday morning to get it.
I could see that being true.
Yes,
that's how far back out in the sticks we were.
So your take on it was mine. It was actually pretty good.
I thought it was enjoyable.
It was very much a documentary.
Yes. It was not it wasn't an entertainment film. It was a documentary.
Right. I will say that one thing this wasn't something I learned, but it kind of it sort of
you learned how much you hate Robbie Knievel.
Actually,
Robbie and his brother and sister were on there. Yeah. There was a lot. I think
but you don't see the Robbie's brother much in the news.
No.
I mean,
I don't think he's in that industry or anything. He's just a citizen.
He's not. Well, Robbie's not really in that.
Not anymore.
No, Robbie never was. Okay. That's called cashing the check.
Well,
okay?
I think there's a little hate going on
cash
here.
There's epic hate.
Yeah. Cashing the check that Dad's legacy
and
wrote.
The only good thing, Warren, is the hate is actually mutual both ways.
Yes, it is. That is true. But anyway.
But I thought it was good in that they brought Johnny and his team. Did a lot of homework, you could tell it.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a lot of friends, real family,
right.
And people that were directly associated with Evel and all his stuff.
Yeah, and I would have to say that Evel Knievel's first wife,
mm-hmm.
May actually be qualified for sainthood after watching this.
After watching that, yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't you say?
Yes. She put
up with him doing the Magic Johnson pretty much nonstop. Okay.
Probably exceeded Magic Johnson.
Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain then.
Yes, probably. Yeah, yes. I bet the bet it would be a Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, so, but anyway, the interesting thing was at the end, it all kind of came back to him.
Yes.
He realized how miserably he had treated everybody, and at the end, he was trying to make it right, which was not something I knew.
No, I had never heard that before either.
Right.
Which means it didn't happen, and they made that up for the movies. It's like aliens didn't blow up the White House. That was just a movie, Hillary.
It's worth watching.
Because it had Johnny Knoxville.
It's worth watching. Now, here's one thing that a lot of people don't know, because we always talk about, you know, the Evel Knievel, the Harley number one, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But his most famous wreck was on a Triumph.
Yes. He was on a Triumph.
Yeah, right, yes.
If he'd been on a Harley, he would have made the Caesar's Palace.
All his early jumps were on things other than a Harley.
Most of them were on Triumphs.
Most of them were on Triumphs. Actually, he started on Hondas, believe it or not, because he did that. He was a Honda salesman.
Yes, that's something I didn't know.
Yes,
that was one of the things. And he was an insurance salesman.
He was an insurance and a successful one.
I did not know that.
You're going to look. He was an extremely successful salesman, broke all kinds of records. Because he sold insurance policies to people in mental institutions.
Yes.
So he was a con artist.
He went to a mental institution and sold policies to patients.
It was brilliant.
That's awesome.
It was brilliant. Which means we would all signed up.
I probably have an Evel Knievel life insurance. Yeah. Did it say like Evel Knievel life insurance?
Well, no.
At that time he wouldn't have been Knievel. He would have been Robert Knievel.
But the thing was, you know, he broke all these company records. And he went up to the owner of the company and said, "Hey, guy, if I break every single record in the company, will you make me vice president?" Guy said no. So Evel packed his stuff up and left.
Yeah.
Went to Oregon and sold Hondas.
What's the point? Yeah. So he went to sell Hondas, and the whole motorcycle jumping thing was a stunt to get people to
Come into the dealership.
Come into the dealership.
Well, you know. Crash on Sunday, sell on Monday.
Yeah, right.
I think that's the old saying, right?
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, it was definitely worth watching. Like I said, I learned a few things, and
I might go back to the History Channel's website and watch it.
I would recommend watching it.
I can't stand Johnny Knoxville.
I can't stand Johnny Knoxville either. And actually,
he's done a good job.
Hats off to him. I thought he did a very good job.
And I did like the way he tied the past with Evel Knievel and all the stuff he did with the current industry of extreme sports, you know, with the Robbie Madisons and the skateboards and Tony Hawks.
He basically said that all the things we watch now, all the extreme sports stuff we watch now, X Games, Nitro Circus, and all that stuff, is all basically the father of that is the Evel Knievel.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
But you don't really think about it.
Because people
right.
before Evel Knievel were pretty much sane. And they didn't do really retarded things. I mean, there was like Joe Kittinger or whatever his name was, but other than that, there wasn't many crazy people.
I think Evel Knievel wasn't.
Well, Fonzie.
I think Evel Knievel was.
No, he jumped the shark after Knievel was gone.
Yeah, Evel Knievel was. He was, and he. It's very clear from that he was about making money. I don't think he wanted to have all those injuries.
No,
it was how much more money can I make?
Wait, time out. He was the number one salesman for this insurance company. If he wanted to make money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
He could have found something safer. He could have sold Rolex watches. A good salesman can sell everything.
I think he was like, I'm crazy. This is Butte, Montana. There's probably not much you can do in Butte, Montana to make money, and that probably...
Once he sold out the insane asylum, he probably was at the limit of all the population.
Yeah.
I'm going to go funeral.
Yeah. So,
go to the graveyard and start selling them there.
But yeah, the whole motorcycle jumping thing was all about making money, and he did that. And you know, but all the interesting thing was that, and I did know this, is that most of the money that he made, he actually made on toys.
I did know that.
Yeah,
and I had a bunch of his toys too.
Yeah,
and wish I still did. But
yeah, you're right.
I wore those things out.
Right. So
now I do have to say, I'm gonna put one thing in here, and I was on that show.
Which show?
The Being Evil documentary. I was in there, uncredited, undocumented, but I was in the show.
Where were you?
In his last jump in Cincinnati at
In the crowd?
Yes, I was in the crowd. And in the grandstands...
I thought I saw you there.
Yeah. In the grandstands, you see as he's jumping across, I'm in there somewhere.
Warren was the kid looking the other way.
Oh, he was the one. He was the guy in the crowd kissing his cousin.
That's
wrong. Way too far of a relation for them to kiss.
That's sister.
It would have had to be sister or brother.
I don't like either one of
you. Yeah, we know.
So you were in the crowd. Okay, cool.
I got to see his last big jump.
I cannot claim to any of that. I actually remember watching him on the Wild World of Sports.
A lot.
Yeah, but you know, they did mention that. They never did use his wreck as the agony of defeat, which was far better than that ski jumper's wreck. I think.
Although that ski jumper's wreck was pretty...
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty good, but you know...
You just see him going off. You don't see him actually hit anything.
No, you don't see him hit anything. Whereas Evel Knievel, there's the
best... Ragdolls.
The ragdoll
Evel Knievel got like dead a bunch of times. You know, they were probably like,
Yeah, it was really good. I can highly recommend anybody who gets a chance to watch it, go to History Channel or wherever you can to see it. It's well worth your time to see it.
Yeah, Evel Knievel was kind of like the two-wheeled Billy Jack, wouldn't you say?
They both kind of talked like that,
you know? They both had that
I think it's pretty
kind of braggadocious
way
of talking.
For the people who've seen the Billy Jack movies, that's probably pretty apt.
Yep.
Because that came out about the same time as Evel Knievel did.
It was very much the same time.
And then they showed cuts of his movie Viva Knievel.
And
as I have to say, I've never seen that movie. Or at least I don't recall seeing it. And it looked bad. It looked really bad.
Somebody was like a cocaine dealer he was fighting or something, right?
Well, I mean, it was played by George Hamilton.
The villain. He did one where he was the actor. He was himself in the movie.
Oh, okay.
The other one was George Hamilton. Yeah.
I remember I saw the movie where George Hamilton played him, and it was bad.
I did see that one, and it was bad, too. Yes. But they showed cut scenes from him doing being himself in the movie.
I can't remember who the bad guy was in that movie. It was somebody famous.
But I think we've actually played out Evel Knievel for tonight's show.
Yeah.
It's like way too much.
So what did you get for Christmas?
Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen, wow.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Over, under, done.
Of course I'm serious. And stop calling me Shirley.
That's right. You ever seen a grown man naked?
We could do a whole show
on airplane, yeah.
Because that dude is hysterically stupid.
Lee Squad, and he did some great stuff.
Yep.
All right. Well, what did you guys get for Christmas? You can't top what one of the famous actor or singers got.
I can't top pretty much
anything. I can't pretty much top anything. In fact, the best Christmas gift I got, I bought myself. And
another new pair of underwear.
The next best Christmas gift I got is on its way back to where it was purchased. So,
oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Nothing. Well, if you're Keenan West, you got a brand new Can-Am Spider for Christmas.
I'm not even sure who Keenan West is.
I don't know.
Really? Kim Kardashian's husband, the rapper?
Oh, that's Kane West.
Kane, okay.
Kanye West.
Kanye. That's
Kanye
how much
West.
I pay to hip-hop. Kanye.
Oh, my God. I'm Googling Keenan West. I'm like, who the hell is Keenan? It's Kanye West. Oh. Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that
Warren,
I was hoping
$20
that spider would scare Kim
show.
Kardashian, but it didn't. Hey, I'm not into hip-hop.
Okay, so
I'm old school.
Kanye West got a
brand new Can-Am Spider.
From?
His wife, Kim.
Okay, so she probably figures he's worth more dead.
Yeah,
pretty that's much. What I'm thinking.
And if you look at this week's post, you can see a picture of Mr. West,
Kanye.
Mr. West, mm-hmm. Riding his brand new spider. It has a custom paint job because it's been matte silver. You can't get silver spiders this year. But
it's probably also silver, probably so you can actually see it as it flies off the Pacific Coast Highway, right on the curves, right?
Because that's always better for the highlight films, a bright color.
It's not because it glistens in the sun, so they can find it down on the rocks easy when they pull it out of there.
Well, speaking of that, that's one of the stories I tossed out this week.
Okay, he crashed already.
In Sunset Hills cliffs along the ocean. Mm-hmm. I might be butchering the actual spot. The police or the Coast Guard found a stolen motorcycle at the bottom of the cliffs in the water because people were seeing oil on the surface of the ocean and wondering what the heck is down there causing an oil leak. Mm-hmm. They go down there and they find a stolen motorcycle.
There are some pretty nasty curves on the Pacific Coast Highway, and if you don't know what you're doing, it's very easy to go flying.
You're still on a bike trying to get away or something.
Well, the Kardashians live streamed their Christmas Day present opening.
Did you watch?
No.
Good. So, I didn't want to have to get up and push.
So did was there like any ass rubbing going on? Because if Kim Kardashian
I didn't
spent
watch
Christmas
it.
Day rubbing her ass on live stream, I would have watched.
I would have too.
It's smack it every now and then, rub it and give it up.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'd have watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think much of her, to be honest. Even with
I don't think much of her either.
I don't think she's that good looking, but
she's
that's
got a Liberty Bell that's got a perfect crack in it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Well, in the picture, you'll see Mr. West. He's not wearing a helmet.
That's kind of
funny. Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even
Hello?
Better. Even better.
No, but he should be wearing a helmet.
And no, because Kanye West's brain is not worth saving to begin with.
That's actually legit.
Yeah.
But it is the law. He has to wear a helmet.
But they're in California.
It's California. No, they don't have helmet laws in California.
I don't know where they were,
California
actually. It didn't say where they were.
California has wasted brains to waste already.
That's probably true. Well,
no, it's definitely true. Them and Florida both have brain power that has no use at all. So,
well, just in case you needed a new helmet, there's two new ones that are coming out. One made by Voss called the RS1, which is really kind of strange because it's not your traditional flip-up in the front helmet. It's a clamshell design that you set down on top of your head and lock the back end against the front end. It's kind of hard to explain. There's a picture of it in this week's post.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of being a full-face helmet that's rigid, you just pull it over your head. You mm-hmm. kind of put your face in first and then smack the rear of it down to lock it down.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like some of the helmets you see in some of the sci-fi movies.
Yes.
They're like that.
Yeah. Very sci-fi.
You know, you put your face in and then...
I like sci-fi.
Yeah, its Australian inventor says it's designed, it gives a better fit.
Oh,
because
well, obviously it was designed in Australia. You put it on backwards.
That's right. Yeah.
It's already upside down.
Yep.
Because it creates a smaller opening at the bottom, which also helps to keep airflow and reduce lift and wind noise, which kind of makes sense. I'd like to try one on to see mm-hmm. how it does. Now, one of the things that kind of bothered me, he kind of clears it up in the rest of it, says, if you get in an accident, it's not a traditional helmet. How are they going to be able to really quickly find out how to get it off.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that in event of an accident, the lower clips and the hop hinge can be fully released, allowing emergency responders to get it off your head.
I would think that kind of helmet would actually be safer because you can get it off without possibly displacing the neck because the way that it goes on.
The way I look at it, I agree with you, but I mean, it's, the first responders never having seen one before.
That's why they,
that might cause some little bit of issues at first.
You put in a directions label. You put a little adhesive label, tells you on there.
All right, and then the second helmet that came out, this is one is a going to be is a more or less a prototype at the moment, but BMW has come out with something I think is going to be pretty cool. And you don't hear me say that a lot.
No, you don't hear you say that at all.
A motorcycle that
a motorcycle
GPS,
helmet.
The GPS takes you to the dealership.
And you actually said this. You actually said this without saying anything about they're already planning their first recall.
Well, because it hasn't hit the market yet.
Okay.
But it wouldn't surprise me. No, but you know, I guess you guys have heard of the Scully, where you got the heads-up display helmet.
Yes.
And you can get your basic information from it. And
we did a story on that a couple years ago.
Well, this is is taking the concept of the Scully-like helmet with the HUD HUD display, heads-up display, so you can see what speed you're going, the gear, how much fuel, oil pressure, speed limits, rear view integrated. It also has a recorder built into it, so just like your GoPros has a built-in recorder.
Video recorder,
mm-hmm. So you can get there. So it has all this cool stuff. And at first I said, okay, no big deal. You know, that's been done by a couple of different ones. It's all fully integrated. Mm-hmm. Something a little bit different because it's fully integrated versus what the big difference came in is it's integrated with the bike. Your left-hand controls will have the ability to adjust what you're seeing in the helmet. So if you don't want to see your speed or you're changing your oil pressure, you can use your left-hand control to change the view in your helmet.
Okay.
And I have not seen anyone else do that.
That's probably a smart move.
Yeah, I thought it was as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're close to a break, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. So that's all right.
I was waiting for the music to play.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I thought you would keep going with that. I don't like the heads-up display helmets.
I've not wore one, so I don't know how it actually is.
I'm a little bit worried about the distraction of it in a motorcycle helmet.
And without having a laser blaster on the front, what's the point?
Well, and I think in a car it's a little bit different, too, because it's a small area here on your heads-up display.
Who cares?
Yeah. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some bikers doing some good things in England or Great Britain or someplace like that.
Soggy Breton.
Soggy, very soggy. All right, folks, you're back. Whether you wanted to be or not, you are back. And then Ken also kind of, Ken kind of let it in.
We're back.
What did I do? What did I lead it in?
Because you said soggy Britain.
Soggy Britain.
And you know they are actually very soggy right now, especially in the northern part.
It's always soggy there.
It's always.
They've had a lot of
soggy Britain if it was a desert.
Exactly. It's soggy Britain. I mean, when was the last time you heard about a drought in Great Britain?
Never.
Right.
Exactly. Never. Well, they had some significant flooding, just like we have them with the Midwest, with the Mississippi. They're having their equivalent of that right now.
They have their own Mississippi in England?
Similar to. Flooding. Rivers overflowing their banks.
I didn't even know they had redneck hillbillies in England.
I bet you they do. They live in places like Liverpool.
They probably don't call them rednecks, though.
Right.
What would be the British
Liverpool
equivalent?
Liverpool kind of comes off as a hipster place to me.
I think Liverpool.
The Beatles are from
maybe
there.
Maybe now.
Totally
but
hipster.
I think it was kind of a thuggy place.
The Beatles were hipsters, the original hipsters.
Yeah, but I think they were also, a lot of those.
Stone.
Yeah, I think they were back in the 50s.
Well, they had the Stones.
Whatever. Whatever. We're not even, we're speculating. We have no idea what we're talking about.
I have no clue.
One of our British listeners can
clue us in.
Yeah.
Tell us what is
or lie to us. We'll believe either.
Well, we wouldn't know the difference.
We're unarmed.
Well, along with the flooding, they're having a lot of, or maybe not a lot, but enough looting going along with flooding.
What does looting and flooding have to do with each other?
Well, when it floods,
it's much easier to steal stuff when it floats.
Yeah,
you can pick up
stealing.
Much bigger stuff.
That's not stealing. It's called fishing.
That is true.
Well, what's going on is that the insurance companies over there are telling people to put all their damaged goods outside in their yards so when they drive by, they can count it and put it and get it totaled up. Because if you don't, and if you don't put it outside, they're not going to give you any money for it, according to the article I was reading. So they're not going to cover it if they don't see it.
In my country, when you put things outside, it becomes fair game.
That's not looting. If it's outside, it's not looting.
That's right. It's fair game.
If it's in your front yard or by the curb,
yeah,
it's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bikers are conducting motorcycle clubs in Britain. Bikers are conducting nighttime patrols of Hebden Bridge. I think I got that one pronounced right. This one,
I don't know, Keenan West.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't pay attention to hip hop. Give me a break. So, Hebden Bridge and Mythomaloid.
We have no idea what that you just said.
Mythomaloid.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't know.
It's English.
I got as close as you're going to get, too, Phil.
Yeah, that's true.
As the closest you're going to get. So they're saying, we saw people post on Facebook that they were trying to deter looters. There just weren't enough police out there. So we thought, what could 20 to 30 burly bikers do? So David Caress of the Drifters Motorcycle Club organized his MC, went up to...
Wasn't that the guy that like burned himself to death in Waco?
Christopher Lloyd? No, he was
David somebody, he said.
This is Caress. Similar
name. David Caress, right?
Caress.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Slightly different name, but close enough for us. The pair said they've been overwhelmed by the responses from other clubs, including the Pats, the Broken Bones, and the Nutty Mortis. I like that name of the club.
Nutty Mortis?
The Nutty Mortis.
The Nutty Mortis.
Like the Crazy Dead.
I got a solution to having the stuff stolen out of your yard. Keep it in your house.
Yeah.
Right? But the insurance companies won't cover you.
Wait,
then.
Why are you complaining about
trash.
Stuff that was trash?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if your refrigerators
there's motorcycles.
So the insurance, maybe I need to move to England because there's a scam waiting to happen there.
Yes.
So they don't actually do an inspection. They just kind of drive by and go, oh, that guy got a big pile of S out in his front yard. Yeah. We'll give him money.
He's got a refrigerator.
Why are we not renting a house in England and taking like shipping over a shipping container of old like American TVs?
So if people are stealing the stuff, it's not trash, right?
And how dumb are the people that they're stealing flooded stuff?
For scrap. If you saw a refrigerator out there, you know, aluminum refrigerator or washer or dryer, this is steel. People are stealing it to for scrap.
Yeah, but you got steel.
Hey, we got people breaking into here in the United States, breaking into live electric yards.
That's for copper.
And stealing copper off of a 30,000 volt.
That's a lot different than stealing, you know,
it's a lot easier and safer to try to pick up somebody's refrigerator out of their yard in a country that doesn't have guns.
Is bulk steel for like 2 cents a pound right now.
Well, maybe it's going for more over there.
Yeah, 2 pence a pound? Yeah, I doubt it.
2 quid?
They have hunting rifles. They have hunting rifles. They do have guns.
Well, I don't think they all do. Just
no, they have hunting rifles. They have hunting rifles. They don't have handguns.
That's not enough. They need a lot of handguns.
Yeah, I'm trying to think that what will kill a pigeon will probably deter a thief.
It should.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the Nutty Mortis, the Drifters, etc. We're not here to hurt anybody.
Sand in my shoes.
We're not here to hurt anyone. We're not here to scare anyone. We just want there to be a presence to deter people who are trying to take what others have, and it's not theirs.
No, they're trying to stop people from taking what others have discarded.
Well, you know, I've seen people get, let me rephrase that. People do get killed over stealing trash.
Yes, yes, that is true.
That happens.
That is very true. Yeah,
that is true, but for a completely different reason, Phil.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know.
Well, scrappers.
A lot of scrappers go after. I have seen scrappers take aluminum off the side of people's homes.
Yeah, but I mean, is that...
I've done that.
But is that what we're claiming? Is that the thought that it's for scrapping purposes?
That's what the article has said.
Or okay. Is there one guy with a huge yard full of stuff and his insurance company's paying out the
news? Yeah, so if you come and steal my refrigerator, my stove, whatever I got in the front yard, mm-hmm. and then the next day the insurance guy comes by and it's not there and I'm not getting reimbursed for it?
So on a positive note, I would have nothing to worry about. I don't have a stove. My refrigerator doesn't work now.
Yeah, here's an idea. Make it a lot more efficient than that. Instead of like putting your stuff out there and hoping that one day the insurance person comes by and actually sees the stuff and gives you credit for it, how about the insurance people get off their fat asses and knock
and
on the door?
And do their job?
and knock on the damn door.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying this is what they're suffering
from
over there.
With all the rain they get over there, it'd be a lot nicer to look at the stuff inside than out in the rain, right?
Well, they're used to it. They got slickers.
Sound like, right about that slickers. Whole story.
Yeah.
You know, just like sending me to a place and...
reminding you of your
so
past
motorcycle
scam I would have done. Like, hey, oh yeah, put all your personal belongings out your front yard, and we'll drive by and appraise it.
I have a theory. I have a theory. The motorcycle clubs over there aren't actually protecting the tracks; they're just getting first dibs.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I like that. That's okay with me.
Well, they're saying we spread out and go wherever we need. The police understand what we're doing. We're not there to offer anything physical. We just want to show our faces.
Yeah, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Obviously, we're not vigilantes.
No, we're protecting trash. How can we be vigilantes?
A lot of us are quite big, chunky lads, so that helps. We don't have to really say anything, just show up,
all right,
said Spencer,
so
who is 6'5" and weighs 20 stone.
Right, which I can hold 20 stones in one hand. So now we know that's all false, because the only bikie I know from that area of the world is like skinny and losing weight. Olaf is not a big chubby lad, right?
Yeah, he's losing a lot of weight, that's for sure.
So
he's doing a lot of biking and running.
Totally know there's something wrong to this.
Yeah, he's being more healthy than we are, that's for sure.
Well, that'll kill him.
That'll kill him. That'll always do you in.
If you go to Hedden Bridge and in parts there are no lights, it's like a war zone. Everyone has dumped everything out on the road because insurance companies said they have to. If they don't see it, they don't pay out.
It's like a filing's basement for trash.
There's just something that just screams not right there.
I don't know. I don't get the whole point. I don't.
We are out into the early hours.
We have flooding here, and we don't have this problem.
Well, I don't think our insurance companies ask us to put their stuff in the front yard.
Yeah. So the problem might actually not be with the thieves. It might actually be with the insurance company.
I think it is.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, yeah, they don't want to pay out. They're like, oh, when we went in your house, there was nothing there. I can see that.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously we're not covering the stuff in your front yard. Yeah. I can see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're out into the early hours. We just drive, park, walk, drive, park, walk with our torches looking for anything suspicious.
Now we're getting give that guy a pitchfork, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I think we beat that one enough. Think so?
I'm pretty sure we beat that enough like 4 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't understand the whole point of that, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think the insurance companies
so
are at fault
about
this.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a story about a bad insurance company.
Well, the bikers are trying to help out, so. Japanese automaker Suzuki, or motorcycle maker Suzuki, is going to introduce and try to commercialize hydrogen-powered motorcycles in the next couple of years.
Whoo! Pre-made terrorist bombs.
Okay, hydrogen-powered motorcycles.
Yep.
Okay,
using
fuel cells. Okay, but they're going to be electric motorcycles powered by fuel cells that use hydrogen to make the power.
Yes.
Because the output of a fuel cell is electricity.
Is electricity.
Right. So that's actually smart. It's a smart move. The problem is you got the same problem you have with electricity and finding a charging station is you got to find a hydrogen station.
Yeah.
Wherever you go.
Those are not that uncommon anymore.
I don't know where any of them are.
I was going to say, they're pretty uncommon when you get outside of municipal areas.
Oh, okay.
And that's the problem. If you're out somewhere in, you know, Iowa, you're probably going to say, yeah, we got biodiesel, but we got no hydrogen.
Yeah, Japan's transport ministry is expected to write the safety and environmental standards for fuel cell bikes as early as this month. Mm-hmm. And then once approved, Suzuki will begin test driving the cycle on public roads. So they already have the motorcycle.
Yeah,
it's all ready to go.
And, I mean, fuel cell technology goes back in the 60s. It's not new.
Well, it's
technology.
A lot more refined now.
Well, I understand
and
that, but
electricity produces a lot more.
It's not new technology,
well,
per se.
Electric motorcycles aren't new. We know they went back a long time ago. It's just...
Yeah, but no one's been developing it for all that time. We've been using fuel cells in space vehicles since the 1960s. So it's been a constant use. We've been doing fuel cell work.
Look at him.
I just like space.
Okay, he just likes space.
We need a space motorcycle.
Right. So, anyway.
So the Muri fuel cell vehicle developed there's in conjunction with Toyota and Suzuki, is the latest zero-emission technology. They have a joint venture with a UK venture company The high pressure hydrogen tank is small enough for a motorcycle.
In case anything happens to it,
and large enough for a man.
Don't put it out. Whatever you do, they teamed with a UK company. Do not put your motorcycle out by the curb.
No. It'll get looted.
Yeah.
The first, what they think is going to be the first production bike is going to be a Bergman scooter based on Suzuki's existing 120cc motorcycle engine.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, well, it's something new. I hadn't heard of any motorcycles using hydrogen at all, anywhere. You know, everything's been electricity. I think hydrogen is a better way to go long term.
It's still electricity.
It's still electricity, but it's fueled differently. You don't have a charge station.
You don't have to have. Maybe. Is it gonna have batteries to store power?
Didn't say that. I would assume that it would go directly from the hydrogen, because some of the other stuff, like the hydrogen cars,
I kind of doubt that. My guess is the fuel cell will recharge batteries.
Well, then you're riding the same. Then you ride the same issues with
electric charge. No, because it can be charging while you ride rather than discharging while you ride, which all electric bikes do right now.
Right.
Well, they got the regenerative braking they use.
But if you're out on the highway, there is no regenerative braking. So
if you're
driving cross country with a fuel cell, you could be recharging. As long as the fuel cell is producing more than you're consuming, right?
Supposedly,
but an electric motorcycle, it's straight down. Okay,
yes, you're right.
Right. So, I mean, it is better than an electric motorcycle.
Yeah. So, right? I think it's a better way to do it. It's going to have the same problem as electric chargers, as you mentioned. There's no distribution network for hydrogen, unless you can
there
convert
is in urban areas, because there's a lot of municipal bus systems that run on hydrogen.
Yeah, I was going to say municipal buses.
Right.
Most of those are compressed gas, not hydrogen.
There's some compressed natural gas ones, but there are also some hydrogen.
There's a lot
ones.
Of hydrogen.
Oh, I haven't seen any whole, hydrogen.
There are
ones.
Some hydrogen ones.
The whole it used to be Long Island Power Authority. Now it's something else. Like half their the problem.
The problem is that there's huge hydrogen. Areas of the country where there is no hydrogen. But
and there's no point to go to those areas.
But
if they don't have hydrogen, I don't want to go.
But you know what? But you know what? You can make your own hydrogen.
You can.
Yes, you
all
can.
All you need is water and electricity to make hydrogen.
Yeah.
Right?
Supposedly.
So, no, you actually can.
No, that's actually true.
It's actually true because that's the
allegedly.
Whole, it's the whole H2O thing.
But you're stealing at that point, allegedly. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk motocross, supercross, MotoGP.
All kinds of stuff.
A little bit of everything.
BSB.
Motorcycle
and
racing.
Moto America.
There you go.
Covering all the bases.
All of them.
All right, stick around.
And Valentino Rossi. Back here on the Doghouse on ntnradio.com.
Well, we've almost like making up for the prior weeks when we haven't said ntnradio.com
I know.
Today.
Well, after the whole ntn.com debacle
yes, I know.
Earlier in this show, I figured we should probably make
sure. Yeah, you should send your mail to Warren at ntn.com.
Yes, do that.
Yeah, actually, Warren, on the other show where we say hateful things, we kind of have been giving out your email address for the hate mail.
That's what we do for everything.
I kind of enjoy that.
I actually
not
did
really.
Sign up for a free Washington Post with Warren's email address.
Yeah.
Sorry, Warren.
I signed up for a gay porno thing with Warren's email address.
Why are you signing up for gay porno?
Yes. For Warren's benefit.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's his own benefit, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The truth comes out, Ken.
That's why your email address was used.
I've got nothing from that, so that must be something to your personal
just
convenience.
Wait. I'm getting you on a list. Just work on it.
You know,
it's coming.
I don't want to hear la 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 la. I can't hear you. Supercross is starting this weekend.
Yay!
Some
Supercross.
Big changes, at least in my opinion.
Really?
Big changes. Supercross only twice in Anaheim instead of their normal 16. Yeah. But they're going to Toronto, and they're going to Foxborough, Mass.
Going international.
Yes, Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Foxborough, Massachusetts, yeah. Oh, well, Foxborough, Massachusetts makes sense. The Toronto one I actually think makes sense, too. Because,
it does.
Yeah, I mean, it's big up there as well.
And that's practically Detroit.
It is. You know. That's right. That's right.
It's Detroit
without the crime, right?
You know. So I think that's cool that they've changed. Like, there's only going to be one Atlanta and two Anaheims instead of 17.
Well, that's good.
So I like that, and I like going to new places. I think that's good. I think that's good for the sport.
Yeah, still not enough destinations on the East Coast.
No.
So
that's true.
Yeah, the East Series is kind of lacking. It needs to be further along the coastline. That's for sure.
Yeah, maybe they call East Florida, race. They call Texas an East race.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't even call Texas part of this country.
As crazy as Florida is, I'm always surprised they haven't had something down there.
Oh, Daytona. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's not in Florida.
It's not Florida. That's right.
Oh, okay. I was thinking more of further
and Atlanta,
south.
Atlanta. That's definitely not in the south.
It's further south, like Miami.
I don't count Atlanta as the East, though. Even though I'm sure that people would say that
you know,
it is.
I kind of do. The Mississippi. I mean, it's within 9 hours here. It's further east. Than, it's pretty west, though.
I still think we need one west. In this region.
Oh, hey. Moto America has their new schedule, their updated schedule, has Road America on it.
Oh, cool.
So I'm very happy about that. I forgot
to
bring that up.
That's cool. That's cool. Did they add a new race? Or?
Yeah, it looks like it. It doesn't look like anybody has done it.
Okay. Cool.
So, and they're still tentative, and, you know, obviously they got to try run Laguna Seca. They haven't made the official announcement with World Superbike, but it looks like they're going to
try. But it just means that they're going to be up there in Utah, right? Or well, Wisconsin, I'm sorry.
Wisconsin, yeah. Well, they'll be in Utah, too, at the
that's right.
Miller
Chinese
whoever.
So it still doesn't do much for us. They still are lacking.
But it's building the season now. They're 9 stops.
No, I agree.
This is only year 2.
I agree.
And I'm hoping, because that was kind of a late announcement, in my opinion, I'm hoping maybe they're still talking to guys Mid-Ohio.
Until they get Daytona back where it belongs, it's just ridiculous how it is right now.
So let's talk a little bit about Daytona and what used to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We used to have this great race called the Daytona 200.
Yeah. For 6 decades?
Yes. And what happened at that race?
It didn't go anywhere.
What happened at that race?
Yeah.
People won.
No. What else happened?
No? What else happened at the race?
Trying to draw you into something here.
Flat track.
No.
No, he's not trying.
We're talking the motorcycle. We're talking the road race, the 200.
Okay.
That race.
Yes.
What was that race known for?
Well, it was known for people coming from all over the world.
And
yes. Wow.
Thank you. Ding, 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 Ken. There you go. So, out on roadracingworld.com, and I started seeing it pop up a whole bunch of other places, too. Moto America and BSB officials are considering reviving transatlantic match races.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, it would.
I think that'd be awesome.
That would be great.
They list some of the guys who've raced in this. Joey Dunlop, Kevin Schwartz, Kenny Roberts, Scott Russell. I'm just blaming the Americans because God bless America and no one else. Freddie Spencer, Joey Dunlop obviously is an American, but he won the Isle of Man, and the King of the Isle of Man is from America.
That's true.
So that counts as an American.
Right.
American by default.
Right. I mean, he's ruled by an American. That makes him an American.
Yep.
So there's a lot of, Gary Nixon. Oh, my God. There's a whole bunch of good names in there.
Oh, yeah.
So they're talking about reviving that, and I hope they do. I'm all for that.
I hope so, too.
And they're going to do this? They want to try to do this in Daytona?
No. They probably do it.
That was a segue.
Where they used to do it.
Okay.
Brands Hatch or Donington Park? One of the two of those, right?
Too many years ago, Phil. There hasn't been a match race
I just know one of the articles I read mentioned those tracks.
Yeah.
So I would like to see them do that. Bring those guys over here. We go over there, have a little... Mix it up. They're saying someplace like Barbara would be fantastic. That's close enough for the doghouse to get to.
That is true.
We've been there. And we made it back without blowing up.
That is true. We are very biased, though. We could not be fair if we went to
No, obviously not. No one would expect us to be impartial.
In fact, we would probably sabotage the British bikes.
Well, you know, the first thing I would do is I'd make sure there was no mayonnaise for them to put on their French fries. Right?
You'd buy it all up so they can't use it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I would just make
sure. We bring bangers and leave the mash home.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I would totally
that would screw them up totally.
I'd bring chips and no fish.
That's right. I'd bring the only tea we would have would be Lipton.
And they'd be like, oh, you know.
Gotta be Louisiana.
Between Long Island.
The crummiest stuff we could bring.
They'd say, oh, can I have some tea and scones? And I'd give them a Long Island iced tea and some scones. There you go, have at it.
We'd steal their tea. They wouldn't be able to function.
Yeah.
And not scones. You give them donuts.
Yeah.
That's right.
Long Island iced, wait, I used to eat that for breakfast. Yes. Long Island iced tea and donuts. So I hope they do that. I think that would be awesome. I hope so too. I thought that would be pretty cool. We didn't do a show last week for our normal listeners. And over the holiday
break, none of our listeners are normal.
All right. For those of you who listen
regular listeners.
Okay. We didn't do a show, but there was something that was floating around right before what would have made my news for the show for one reason and one reason only. And the title of the article I saw on AutoEvolution.com was Valentino Rossi and Danny Pedrosa with Suzuki in 2017.
Hmm.
And that's interesting.
Right? I mean, I'm going, oh, my God. And it said, it looks like 2017 will bring even more changes to MotoGP than the comeback of KTM. The Spanish online edition of Motociclismo informs us two of our top four riders, Rossi and Pedrosa, will drop the boat or the shark.
Yeah.
Whichever. But it turns out that December 28th in Spain is the equivalent of April Fool's Day in America.
Okay.
So everybody, like, I'm looking and I'm reading this and I'm starting to read this and I'm going, there's no way this happens.
Right, but plus, you know, how can you predict what Rossi's going to do in 2 years? That's impossible. Cause
I know he will kick over Marquez in a corner if he gets the chance.
Yes, yeah.
He's already done that, so that's not
a big push.
That I can
pretty much guarantee.
I think Rossi's season next year will be dedicated to keeping Marquez from winning.
Yes. I think Rossi will be on the defense, and that should be fun to watch. Right. But I thought it was great because all these people, I mean, oh my, Suzuki guys are like, yeah, Rossi! And the whole rest of the world was like, no! Right. And then everybody's like, yeah, you do know it's December 28th. So I did talk to our English to European translator and stuff and found out that this is actually April Fool's Day.
Okay.
So I just thought that was kind of
If you're going to go off of MotoGP, I actually have a story associated with MotoGP.
Yeah, let's do it then.
So I have to thank Dave, our faithful listener, Dave. He was nice enough to tag me in a Facebook post from an article that was in Crash.net. I read the article, did a little bit more research on there. Remember when Pedrosa went out for his arm pump surgery and he missed three rounds?
Last season.
And there was all this speculation about Casey Stoner maybe coming in and filling in, at least by me and a few other people.
Yeah, it was Ken's speculation.
Yeah. I think Casey also wanted to do it. Yeah, it was actually a lot more than that. And apparently Casey had the permission of the old lady.
Really?
To permit in there. And Casey actually asked HRC to let him fill in for Pedrosa during that time.
And HRC said no, why?
Yeah, HRC said no, and the story that was in Crash.net and includes quotes from Stoner that apparently Marquez was threatened by the idea of him actually riding in races against him.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's
actually surprising.
If I was Ducati or Yamaha, actually, I would be calling Casey Stoner.
That's not surprising at all to me.
Knowing how he feels about Rossi.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that Marquez is fine when Pedrosa's riding on a race because he doesn't feel threatened that Pedrosa's going to take wins away from him.
But he did.
No, not really. Not really. But he's, especially not at this point. This is pre any Pedrosa coming back and being competitive at all at the very end of the season. Remember?
Because he was injured, yeah.
Yeah, well, he wasn't injured. He was out having arm pump surgery.
Well, that's...
Now, this is Casey Stoner saying this. This is not Honda verifying it, but I totally buy it. I totally buy that Marquez would not want...
I'm the conspiracy guy, and Ken's all in on this. I love this.
I am totally believing that Marquez would not want any part of racing against Casey Stoner.
Let's start a hashtag that Marquez fears Stoner.
Yeah.
Let's see where it goes.
Yeah. So, But anyway, it was just kind of weird to me when now especially when Honda goes with Aoyama, which is kind of like
punting,
pretty much going with me. The race, okay.
Like Honda is like,
that's a couple of grades from you.
Honda, I actually think I would have finished higher than him. Actually,
Honda was like, you know, we got all these podiums. Let's punt. We don't need any more.
Yeah, exactly. And they did that, turning down a Stoner, which Stoner gives you, if nothing else, he's going to bring all kinds of people to the
media. He's going to bring all kinds of media,
tons of it.
Tons and tons.
And they said no. They had to have a reason to say no. Well, apparently not. What do we know?
I mean, the only reason I can think of is Marquez.
What do we know? What happened then when the season ended? Casey Stoner took a walk and went to Ducati.
Because of Marquez.
He got pissed.
I think he got pissed at HRC.
Yeah, but I mean over Marquez.
Yeah, well.
Whatever the reason was, he got pissed.
He got pissed, and it was like, yeah. And now we know he's going to ride some wild card races now. So this might be his way of showing, guess what? You put me on a Ducati, I'll beat Marquez on a Ducati.
Stoner and Rossi team up to fight Marquez and Lorenzo.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, my God. Why did they have to cancel Celebrity Deathmatch?
I know.
Yeah. Why? For the love of God, why?
So anyway, but Stoner, who's now the brand ambassador and desk rider for Ducati.
You know, I really wasn't buying your Stoner story news, but that actually all kind of makes sense.
I think so. I think so. So
again, like the Fermi
again
paradox.
Thanks to Dave for pointing that out to me. I totally buy into this. I absolutely do believe that Marquez is definitely threatened by.
Look how threatened he is by Rossi.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He's definitely. By Stoner. I mean, Stoner's a legend at HRC and Ducati. Marquez has only shown that he can
Yamaha
do what he can
be
do
going after
on the
Stoner.
Best bikes. He's only proven that what he can do on the best bike. Stoner's proven what he could do on an also-ran bike.
Yeah.
So, what a championship.
You know, Suzuki should be going after Stoner.
Yeah, really.
Be like, here, come here and whoop ass on our bike.
Yeah. I don't think Rossi would let him ride.
On a Suzuki?
No, never mind. Never mind.
Yamaha.
Yeah, never mind.
I think after that report, I think Rossi is probably calling up Yamaha and tweeting Yamaha all the time.
Well, it's a moot
point. Bring Stoner. I want somebody to play defense on that kid.
Yeah, it's a moot point. Stoner's under contract to Ducati now, so.
Contracts can be broken.
Well, they can be. Somebody comes in to buy it out. But I think it's more likely that we'll see Stoner back on a Ducati in 2017.
You know, I could see him going out there just to prove a point now.
Well, you got some,
I mean, the one thing, you're not a...
No, I think you'll see him a couple times this year.
You don't make it to MotoGP if you're not type A personality.
Yes, I agree.
And to be turned down because that guy's scared of you is like...
Well, actually, you got Lorenzo, who is a type Q personality.
Twitter?
Yes.
I thought it was the other Q. I was like, whoa, hey, are
Might
we really
that
going that way?
Might be that too.
You know, I did see a picture of him posing like he was C-3PO.
It kind of fits him.
I know. And somebody said that. And I was like, I've never seen the two of them together. I'm going to have to look. I mean, could Lorenzo be C-3PO?
Anyway. Of course, the story was just followed by all these people that are ripping Stoner, the whiner, and all that kind of stuff like that. But, you know, whatever. I still think Stoner's proven to be one of the best motorcycle riders in the last decade. My opinion.
Yeah, you know.
He's no more whiner than Rossi or Marquez.
They're all whiners to some extent.
You have to be a type A personality
yeah, kind of
whiner.
The only one that's out there that's not a prima donna, I really hate to say this because I don't like to defend him, is Danny Pedrosa. Not. Yeah. Danny Pedrosa is like.
Well, you have to win to whine, I think.
Well, he has won plenty of races.
He's won plenty of races. He's never won the championship.
He has won a championship, although not in the premier class. So.
Hey, one other thing. When we're watching Supercross
this Saturday,
remember, 2-2 Motorsports doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
So, and Ken's favorite. So Chad Reed will be out riding for a team.
Yeah, cool.
And his arch rival, Bubba Stewart, will be out there against him. Yeah, Ken will love that.
He should be injured by, I don't know, third lap.
Him and Trey Kinnard.